translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The annihilating gross body of the five elements, thus annihilating the gross body of the five elements into the three qualitative modes of material nature, He merged them into one essence and then absorbed that essence into the Self, Brahman, which is inexhaustible in all circumstances. Srila Prabhupada's purport. All that is manifested in the material world is a product of the Mahatattva Avyakta. And things that are visible in our material vision are nothing but a combination and permutations of such variegated material products. But the living entity is different from such material products. It is due to the living entity's forgetfulness of his eternal nature as the eternal servant of the Lord and his false conception of being so-called Lord of material nature that he is obliged to enter into material existence of false sense enjoyment. Thus a concomitant generation of material energies is the principal cause of the mind's being materially affected. Thus the gross body of the five elements is produced. Mahajudhisthira reversed the actions and merged the five elements of the body in the three modes of material nature. The qualitative distinction of the body as being good, bad, or manicure is extinguished. And thus again, the qualitative manifestation of body merges into the material energy, which is produced from the false sense of the pure living being. When one is thus inclined to become an associate of the Supreme Lord, the personality of God in one of the innumerable planets of the spiritual sky, especially in Goloka Vrindavan, one has to think always that it is different from the material energy. He has nothing to do with it, and he has to realize himself as a pure spirit, Brahman qualitatively equal with the Supreme Brahman, Parameshwar. Maharaj Yudhishthira, after distributing his kingdom to Maharaj Pariksit and Viraja, did not think himself emperor of the world or head of the Kuru dynasty. This sense of freedom from material relations is as well as freedom from the material encagement of the gross and subtle encirclement makes one free to act as the servant of the Lord, even though one is in the material world. This stage is called Jivan Mukta stage, or the liberated stage, even in this material world. That is the process of ending material existence. One must only think that he is Brahman, but must act like Brahman. One who only thinks himself Brahman is an impersonalist. One who acts like Brahman is a pure devotee. Narayana namaskritaya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim yasam tato jayat mudirayat nasta presu bhadresu nityam bhagavati sevayam bhagavati uttamas loke bhakti bhavati naishtaki. So the spiritual world is the three-fourths creation of kingdom of God or Godhead, and one-fourth is the material manifestation, which is part of the Mahatattva. So the I got something about Mahatattva. Okay. Prabhupada explains in the Purport, text 14, chapter 14, text 4. This explanation of the world, of everything that takes place, is due to the combination of Kshetra and Kshatragya, the body and the spirit soul. This combination of material nature and the living entity is made possible by the Supreme God Himself. The Mahatattva is the total cause of the total cosmic manifestation, and that total substance of the material cause is in which there are three modes of material nature, sometimes called Brahman. The Supreme Personality impregnates that total substance, and thus innumerable universes become possible. This total material substance is Mahatattva, is described as Brahman in the Vedic literature, Mundaka Upanishad. Tasmad etat brahma nama rupam anam ajayate. The Supreme Person impregnates the Brahman with seeds of the living entities and the 24 elements, beginning from earth, water, fire, air, all enormity energy, and they constitute what is called Mahat Brahma or the Great Brahman, the material nature. As explained in the 7th chapter, Beyond this, there is another superior nature, the living entities. Into material nature, the superior nature is mixed by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thereafter the all living entities are born of this material nature. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila chapter 6, it explains how Mahavishnu glances at material creation, and the cause of the material creation is Advaita Acharya. So that glance of Mahavishnu is Advaita Acharya. And then he further explains in that chapter, Sri Advaita Acharya is a creator of millions and millions of universes. And by his expansions of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, he maintains each and every universe. So we can understand from this how Prabhupada stressed on this point about life comes from life. And example was given like a human can create a big city or a aeroplane, but he can't create a big universe. Big universe is created by the Supreme Soul, Supreme Lord. So within the material world, he says the material world is 1/4 of creation of the Lord. The material universe we are in is 4 billion miles. In width and diameter. So this particular universe is the smallest. Four-headed Brahma, there's many other Brahmas beyond this. Eight-headed, I think 100 heads, billion heads, like this, so many. So this particular universe is four-headed Brahma and is 4 billion miles width and diameter. And each of the layers, starting from Earth, after that is multiplied 10 times more. So the first layer, Earth, is 40 billion miles big. So you can imagine how it's covered by the other layers, which are 10 times bigger. And it's explained that the Mayavadis, by their own austerities, they try and come out of the material world and try and enter the spiritual world. But he says Lord Shiva's abode is between the material world and the spiritual world, and he's the guardian of the spiritual world. So when these Mayavadis, they try and enter the spiritual world, Lord Shiva shoots them down with his arrow, and they become gemstones. This is Jiva Goswami's quotation. So it's very hard to get out of the material world with your own strength. But then the same cause, so Advaita Acharya, the cause of the material creation, he appears in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. He's actually one who causes Lord Chaitanya to come to this world. He prayed to Lord Chaitanya for coming. And also he was in charge of the Vaishnavas before Lord Chaitanya came. Like the non-devotees, they were creating a lot of disturbance. They weren't respecting Vaishnavas, and they were saying Vaishnavas should be beaten up and driven away and not be allowed to stay in society. So Advaita Acharya at that time, when Srivas Thakur was there, he was actually protecting the Vaishnava community. He was the head of Vaishnavas. And I think the Mahapatra, the main plate, which is offered to the Brahmanas, best of Brahmanas, because Advaita Acharya was the head of the Brahmana community at that time. He was, people, all the Brahmanas respected him. So he offered that plate to Haridas Thakur. So the whole Brahmana community were not happy with that, because they thought he's from a Muslim background and how can he get the Maha plate? So at that time, all the Brahmanas, the fire they were lighting by their austerities, they couldn't light the fire. And so they went and apologized to Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya, and then obviously maybe they had to apologize to Haridas Thakur also. So after that, then they could light their fires and do austerities. So we can see the Advaita Acharya, although he's a cause of the material creation, but he's coming in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and he's giving Krishna prem to everyone. So there's a purpose behind the material creation is to the purpose is for facilitating the living entity to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada says in his quotations, one of his quotations, he explains that when that purpose is stopped from allowing the jivas to go back to Godhead, then there's that unwanted progeny which is stopping that to happen gets removed. And that can happen due to wars, pestilence and famine. And Prabhupada gave a quote on that. He said when there's a... in his calendar, he said when there's too much unwanted progeny, then wars, famine and pestilence happen to remove that unwanted progeny. So the purpose of the material world can be fulfilled. So even to live in the material world, it's not like one can do it with one strength. One has to have help from others. So same thing in spiritual life. To advance in spiritual life, one has to have blessings from others who are practicing around one. It says, it says in connection with this Mahatattva and Lord Shiva's abode, it says in Brahma Samhita, Goloka Namni Nilajamnita Satasya Devi Maheshu Haridama Suteshu Te Te Prava Nishayena Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Dara highest is Goloka, then is Mahesh Dham or Vaikunth Mahesh Dham, then the earth, then the So by pleasing the Vaishnavas, like the, it's explained here, that is for this. So how did Maharaj Yudhishthira achieve perfection? Because he wasn't guided by his, he was guided through the association of devotees. They actually guided him on the right path to achieve perfection. So he was guided by the great sages, Vyasadev, so the same thing applies to us actually. We are also being guided by great devotees. Srila Prabhupada is the chief commander in Lord Chaitanya's army. We're following his teachings. And even within that circle, we have many devotees who are guiding us on the spiritual path. So it's explained in there are four direct manifestations of the Lord in this world: Mahaprasad, Govinda, the deity, and the holy name. And the Vaishnavas. So four direct manifestations of the Lord in this world. So by taking shelter of these manifestations, he says, out of the four, the Vaishnavas are the most merciful. Because Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvestasya Priya Jayapatantuma Bhakti Chapisa Apiham. That I envy no one, but I'm equal to everyone. But whoever serves me, I am in him and he is in me. So Krishna's particular mercy is manifested through the Vaishnavas. And by getting that mercy of the Vaishnavas, then Krishna is inclined to give us mercy. There was many stories there in even within the Hare Krishna movement, many stories how people got the mercy of a devotee and they became a devotee. So I was reading a story of Dandavi Maharaj, how in the Back to Godhead he gave his story, how he didn't know anything about Hare Krishna's. He was a famous volleyball player, yeah. And his family came in that lineage actually. He's very top in America. And he was he was winning the gold medals also. He was very, very expert, everything. But then one of his friends became a devotee. He read Prabhupada's book. In the Bhakti Gita, he says this devotee's name was Bob, maybe he got initiated later. But he called him over one day, you know. He just saw Dandavi Maharaj from a distance and he called him over. And he told him the Krishna conscious what Prabhupada's teachings are. He gave it to him. How in the material world, everything is temporary, nothing permanent. Everything causes more suffering, actually, than enjoyment. And then he explained how then after that, Dandavi Maharaj bought the Bhagavad Gita. By reading it, he got all his questions answered. And then he told his family, he tried to play volleyball one more time. He thought, well, I can do my service, do my career and also serve Krishna. But then when he was contemplating the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna says, yad karosi yad dadasi tadasi yad arpanam. Krishna says, whatever you do, you give to me. Whatever you offer to me. Whatever work you do, you give that to me, like that. So when that verse came to his mind, he said he froze. He couldn't play the game. He just couldn't play the game. And then he told his friends that actually he's going to join the Hare Krishna movement. You can imagine, he's straight. So one of his friends was quite favorable. He actually supported him. But the other friends, they didn't like it. They couldn't accept that. Because he was a big, big player. He was one of the top three. So, and then when he tell his family, and the family were not happy also. So, he went ahead with it. We went to a temple in a few days. They invited him for the feast. And then he joined. So, it shows you shows you the potency of knowledge, transcendental knowledge. He can cut all one's ignorance. And you could say in the same way, Maharaj Yudhishthira also applied the same way, you know. He was taking guidance from great sages and devotees through transcendental knowledge. And when his time came for giving up the kingdom, he just gave it up. So it says in the purport how to the point where it says, when one thus inclined to become an associate Supreme Lord, the personality of God in one of the innumerable planets of the spiritual sky, especially Goloka Vrindavan, one has to think always that he is different from the material energy. He has nothing to do with it, and he has to realize himself as a pure spirit, Brahman, quarterly one with the Supreme Brahman, Parameshwar. Maharaj Yudhishthira, after disappearing his kingdom to Pariksit and Vraja, did not think himself emperor of the world or head of the Kuru dynasty. This sense of freedom from material relations as well as freedom from all material engagement of the gross and subtle encirclement makes one free to act in the servant of the Lord, even though one is in the material world. So, you could say, even as followers of the Hare Krishna movement, being part of the following Prabhupada's teachings, we are doing the same thing as Maharaj Yudhishthira. That he gave up, he was a king, he gave up everything, and he didn't identify himself as an emperor. He just thought of himself as servant of Krishna. So we are following the same thing. We're doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. And it's just a matter of getting the conviction that ultimately Krishna is looking after us. And because in... It's actually by the mercy of the super soul we can connect to the advanced devotees. We can connect to the spiritual masters in our line. Diksha guru, shiksha gurus. Krishna is guiding us to the, giving us intelligence within how to connect. There's a interesting understanding of this point about these four manifestations of the Lord, how they appear in this world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gives an interesting answer to this. He says, why are we unable to maintain faith in transcendental objects? And he says, the most sinful cannot maintain faith in transcendental objects. Hearts that are contaminated with sinful reactions cannot repose faith in pure spiritual objects. Therefore, both the Mahabharata and the Skanda Purana state, Mahaprasadam Govinde, Namabrahmana Vaishnave, Sapam Pundyam Vatam Rajan, Vishwasana Vijayate. Persons who are not very highly elevated in pious activities cannot believe in remnants of food, prasadam, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or in Govinda, or the holy name of the Lord, or in the Vaishnavas. At present we have lost faith in these four spiritual objects, and we have therefore been swallowed by various anattas. Mahaprasadam, Govinda, the holy name, and the spiritual master are all non-different from Lord Vishnu. But since we have come in contact with this material world, we have lost faith in that truth. The word Maya means that which is not, or that which one can measure. These four items cannot be measured. Sri Govinda is a self-effulgent absolute truth. We do not need another light to help us to see Him. Jai. The word Govinda means protector of the cows. The transcendental personality Govinda is not a concoction of the human mind. No one has imagined or created Sri Govinda. He is the supreme transcendental absolute truth and beyond the reach of the material perception. The spiritual master is the higher benefactor, the giver of transcendental knowledge, and the king of Vaishnavas. Reveals to us this most confidential understanding about Sri Govinda. Sri Govinda is a personification of unknown spiritual bliss, that which temporarily appears as truth according to our mundane knowledge is only apparent truth, local truth. It cannot be positive or absolute truth. Nothing has ever existed before Sri Govinda. This material world has been created for those who are averse to serving Him. So, there is a saying, English saying, God helps those who help themselves. So, Prabhupada also gave a quote saying that you can surrender everything to your authorities, but don't surrender your intelligence. Because intelligence is the next door to the soul, and that's connecting you to Krishna also. Because spiritual life is like a razor's edge, and Prabhupada gave an example on this to one of his quotes in the canon. He said, Krishna means sharp. And if you're shaving and you're careful, you won't cut yourself. But if you're inattentive, you cut, your blood will come. So as soon as one is inattentive, Maya will say, come to me. Then everything failure. So in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam is explained how to serve others, other living entities, is difficult because everyone got different demands. It's not easy to please others sometimes. But to please Krishna is very easy, because He just wants your devotion. Krishna's not really looking at your externals, He's just seeing your devotion. So the main thing we have to avoid is making offenses to devotees and other living entities. If we can avoid that, three things we have to follow to the path back to Godhead is Vaishnava Seva, Nama Ruchi and Jiva Doya. Then the path is very clear back to Godhead, very easy. So we can see Maharaj Yudhisthira actually did that himself. How he dealt with the Kurus in his time when they were giving difficulty to them. I think there was one instance where the Pandavas they went to some place in some forest, and Duryodhan wanted to defame them, so he came there with his army, with a group of his army or something. And at that time, the king of the Gandavas came in that lake area. And he was enjoying with his associates there. And when Duryodhan came in that area, he was told that the king of Gandavas is there. He said, "No, this is our lake. What is he doing? He doesn't belong here." He tried to push him aside. But this king of the Gandavas, he was much stronger than Duryodhan. So he just captured Duryodhan, and he was going to kill him. By that time, it so happened that some of the armies in Duryodhan's side, they went to the Pandavas, and they said, "Look, this Gandhava king has captured our leader, Duryodhan. You have to free him." So, King Yudhisthira, he told Bhima and Arjun to go and free Duryodhan. So Bhima was thinking, "Why should we free him? He's our enemy." But then Yudhisthira said, "Actually, when you free the enemy from his difficulty, they feel humiliation. And they feel..." So that's what happened, you know. They went and freed Duryodhan. And Duryodhana felt humiliation, that he felt, "How is it that my enemies rescued me? Is there any point in me living on now?" He wanted to give up his body. So you can see how Yudhisthira, he respected everyone, even the enemies, he respected accordingly, in terms of, he didn't want to do harm to anyone. But the material world is such that you have enemies, you can't avoid enemies. So Prabhupada said, "This is a world of enemies, so we do our business and get out." So even when Krishna comes, he has enemies to deal with. So this path of taking shelter of spontaneous chanting of the holy name is given by Lord Chaitanya. He came to give that path. By taking Shuddha holy name, we can approach this abode of Goloka Vrindavan. And yeah. Any comments or questions? Okay. Is there a mic or I don't know?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the class, Srinivasa. You mentioned Krishna's impartial, so I was wondering that if Krishna's impartial to everyone, then how come he's partial to his devotees? You know, how does that work?
Well, Prabhupada answers that in the purport to the 929 verse in Bhagavad Gita. He says that a father may be equal to everyone, but he's partial to his son. So devotees are serving Krishna. And in the nectar devotion, he goes further to say that even if a demon becomes a devotee, Krishna will give him mercy. Are there any instances of how Krishna saves a Mathura, this washerman who was in Mathura, Krishna and Balaram went with the coward boys and they were asking for some cloth. Now he says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhaktisiddhanta comments that actually this washerman, he did millions of lives of previous piety to gain that qualification to get Krishna's Prashan Darshan. But because unfortunately he took association of Kamsa, when Krishna appeared he couldn't appreciate Krishna. And he started to put Krishna down, saying that, who are you coward boys? You can't take the king's property. You'll be punished. So Krishna with his hand just cut his head off.
He lost his head then. Huh?
But he says, because by Krishna's mercy, he achieved Goloka. So the fact that he must have been thinking of Krishna in his own way, because Krishna's main concern is that we think of him. Even Kamsa got liberated because he was thinking of Krishna all the time. It's only unfortunate for those who are completely against Krishna, they forget Krishna. Then that's an unfortunate. And Prabhupada gives that understanding in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, there are some people who are like owls, you know. Owls don't like to see the sunlight, they like the dark. Some people are like that. They just avoid the sun. So they're the most unfortunate. Somehow that we have to expose ourselves to the sun, Krishna's sun, we get the mercy.
I heard one other explanation regarding that, Krishna's partiality to his devotees. And so just like a mother, she may have, you know, many children, so she loves them all equally, but the baby who is completely dependent on the mother, she gives special attention to.
That's a good point, yeah.
The other point was, the other question was, you said that was it impersonalists or Mayavadis who tried to go to...
Yeah.
Which one was it?
The Mayavadis.
Yeah, so then Lord Shiva, he stops them from going to Goloka by shooting them down with arrows and they become gemstones. Yeah? So then, are we allowed to offer gemstone jewelry to the deities? Because that would be...
maybe those, they'll get benefit, isn't it?
They can go and have a second attempt, yeah?
Maybe by offering Krishna, they get purified, isn't it?
So they make it one way or the other, right?
Maybe they'll realize their offense and they'll think, please forgive me, Krishna.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Taruna Prabhu has got a question.
Hare Krishna. Maybe you or somebody else can clarify that. Interesting that Maharaj Yudhishthira kind of, we can say, quit his body or undergo Ashtanga Yoga. He was a devotee, you know. So this process of Ashtanga, even for him, I mean, even Bhishma Dev undergo Ashtanga, even Dhritarashtra Ashtanga. So one may say that this was maybe process to quit the body in previous yuga, but if you read through all the four ages, final was Ashtanga Yoga, although it was some other process of self-realization. So interesting that they undergo Ashtanga Yoga. But he was a devotee, so kind of how this reflects to us, you know,
But my understanding is, because they were Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas have a, you know, the different, it's not like, and they were guided by Vyasadev that you go now to the Himalayas.
It seems to me it's for everybody who wanted really to achieve ultimate self-realization, doesn't matter which varna or even ashrama, Ashtanga Yoga is so prominent when you read. It seems to me just as a process. Anyone has some clarity on it?
Well, from what I understand, Prabhupada says that Ashtanga Yoga is for those who are too much on the bodily platform. The chanting of the holy name is higher than...
Yudhishthira also undergo Ashtanga Yoga.
Well, my understanding is my Yudhishthira was too much into morality. There's a difference between King Yudhishthira and Arjun. For example, in the Mahabharata, before the battle of Kurukshetra took place, Krishna told the Pandavas that I can get the Vrishnis to finish the battle of Kurukshetra. I can get them to finish the Kurus off. But then Krishna commented, Yudhishthira will not be happy. So Yudhishthira was more into the line of morality. Whereas Arjun was more into surrender to Krishna. So you don't see Arjun going through what Maharaj Yudhishthira went through.
What's the story, Mahabharata? How Arjuna left the body? How Nakula? How Sahadev? Did they just walk and dropped? They didn't.
Yeah, they walked. The thing is, yeah.
Without undergoing yoga practice instead.
They just walked. They did Mahaprasthan. There's three ways you can achieve perfection. One is Mahaprasthan. One is like Mahaprasik, where he's fasted, no water, no eating, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And the third way is you submerge yourself to the Ganga to the neck and you hear and chant about Krishna. In India, that was a common thing. When someone would die, an old person, they would take him to the Ganga and he would hear and chant about Krishna. They would do kirtan and then would leave his body.
And ladies, Draupadi and...
I don't know. It depends. Actually, in Jeva Dharma, it explains that these three processes are for advanced devotees. They're not for common people. Common people cannot take to these three processes.
Common people chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah. We should stop now, no? 8:30 or...
I was even just doing some reading, and in one of the purports, Prabhupada was mentioning how some of these like processes, like even though I forget the name, but where they even do like the sacrifice of the horses and things, some of these, yeah, so like Ashwamedha and these practices that they were practicing at that time, for us will be very, very difficult to utilize, just because we're in this degeneration of our consciousness. So even though it was like more prominent for people to do those kind of activities, Prabhupada was just saying in the purport that in general that many of these practices that were being done, so I'm assuming that's the same thing, was mostly for people who had a higher consciousness. But for us, it's not really like the best thing for us to do. We should just stick to the process of hearing and chanting Harinam Sankirtan, and we get the same benefit. But if we try that because the consciousness is degenerating, then we won't be able to achieve the same things. It will just lead us nowhere.
Any ladies' questions? Or
actualization of Krishna as the Supreme Person, even in Astanga Yoga. So, and then you will go back to the Godhead. But for us in this age, it is said it's the Harinam Sankirtan, it's a process and it's the Yajna because we cannot do otherwise.
So actually, there's a quote here in 11th canto, Prabhupada explains. He says, according to Sridhar Swami, even in previous ages, such as Satya Yuga, it was not possible for the living entities to achieve perfection that is available in Kali Yuga. Sri Jiva Goswami has explained this as follows. In former ages, such as Satya Yuga, human beings were perfectly qualified and easily performed even the most difficult spiritual process, meditating for many thousands of years, practically without eating and sleeping. Thus, although in any age, one who is completely takes shelter of the holy name, Lord's holy name, gets all perfection, the highly qualified inhabitants of Satya Yuga did not consider that merely moving the lips and tongue, moving the tongue and lips, chanting the Lord's holy name, is a complete process of Lord's holy name is the only shelter within the universe. They couldn't accept it. They were too proud to chant the holy name. Yeah, they were thinking doing the yoga is higher. They were thinking like that. Jai Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai.